Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. This is the reading of God's Word. Let us stand as we read God's Word. When a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled upon foot, underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he will call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and there have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and they, as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so that we may truly hear your word, and that our lives will bear much fruit. And Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Let us see our heavenly realities, and let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Also, through your word, let us have that fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, pour out your grace, that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only hear your word, but also believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, through the book of Luke, we are looking at Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And through what he does and what he teaches, the reality of the kingdom of God is being witnessed. And also, what is true of the citizens of that kingdom is also witnessed. The parable of the sower that we are looking at today is doing the same thing. Jesus speaking in parables. But if you know the Bible, even this, Jesus speaking in parables, it was already promised in the Old Testament. Psalm 78, verse 1 and 2, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, Jesus is fulfilling this promise of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and He did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Again, you could see that Jesus is fulfilling this promise of God. And what is, or what was, the content of these parables that Jesus is speaking? Luke chapter 8, verse 10 says that it is what? The mysteries of the kingdom of God. It is about Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God through His word. And this reality, Matthew chapter 13, verse 17 says, "For truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." Today's parable, like we have said many times, it witnesses the reality of Jesus accomplishing the kingdom of God through His word. This parable is not teaching that we should examine ourselves whether we are the good soil or the bad soil and do our best to be the good soil. Examining, yes. But there's nothing you could do to make yourself the good soil. Because becoming the good soil is not something that we are able to do on our own power and ability. So Jesus speaks in the parables. Before we go into the parable itself, we ask this question. Why? In the parables. Why does Jesus speak in the parables? Well, Luke chapter 8, verse 10, and Jesus said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parable, so that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." So why parable? So that even they hear, they will not understand. And some people will go, "What? I thought God wants all of us to understand. Everybody in this world." No, that's not what Bible says. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, he said, "Go and tell these people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. They keep on looking, but they do not understand. Render the hearts of these people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed." To prevent them from that, God tells in parables, so that they may hear, but they will not understand. Through the parables, God reveals, but at the same time, He conceals. By doing this, God divides the people into two groups. In terms of the parable for today, one group, the people who bear the fruit, and the second group, the people who do not bear the fruits. The citizens of the kingdom of God and the citizens of this sinful world. He who has ears to hear and he who hears but does not understand. Two groups of people. Christians and non-Christians. Now, what is it to hear and by what one be fruitful. Today's parable clearly tells us it's by the word of God. The seed in our parable. Jesus accomplishes the kingdom of God with the word of God. But the sinful people do not know and do not understand what Jesus is doing. Seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. Even when they see what Jesus is doing, and when they hear the actual words from Jesus, they do not know and they do not understand. Today's parable witnesses that reality. The parable is about the kingdom of God, but the parable itself has the characteristic of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God itself is revealed to some but hidden to the other. Just like it, the meaning of the parable is revealed to some but hidden to the others. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the mysteries of the kingdom of God is now revealed to the people of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 26 to 27, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thus, after Jesus' resurrection, there is no more parables. So you will find many parables in the Gospel, like Gospel of Luke and Gospel of Matthew, John, and Mark. But when you read Paul's letters, you will not find parables. Paul does not speak in the parables, thus the mystery of the kingdom of God is clearly revealed to his people. But they are still hidden to non-believers. Non-believers, they do not know nor understand even when they hear or see. And this is intentional by God's design. Only those who are elect, only those that the Holy Spirit visits, they will understand. Even the parables. But God speaks in parables so that they may not understand. You know, sometimes you wonder why, when you read the Bible, you go, why did God write it like this? If He had write it some other way, then more people will understand. Like Genesis. You know, He could have told us a little more detail so that we could defend creation by God. But God did not write it like that. It's intentional. So even when they read it, they're not going to get it. They're not going to accept. Oh, they're way above for their own understanding the stupidity of the Bible. They're too wise. But understand, everything is according to God's will. Those that God has chosen will be saved. God will not fail. So let's look at today's parable. Verses 4 through 8. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and he was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and And the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop of 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has an ear, ears to hear, let him hear." Then, in Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15, Jesus explains the parable to his disciples. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. You know, I make sure that I read the Bible, the passage that we're looking at, in entirety, at least once during the sermon, because I'd rather you hear what Bible actually says than my explanation of it. Even though we believe that God is using me to preach His Word, so you should take what I'm preaching as God's Word, all of it, but even as that is so, I make my point to read the scripture itself many times over if I'm able to do so. That's just what I believe. So, there was not even one word that I would not utter during my sermon that is in our passage for that day. I make sure of it. Anyway, I don't know, that just popped into my head, so I had to tell you. You might say, "Oh man, why is he reading it again?" Well, that's why. And if you not get too bored, I will read it again, because that's God's Word. But we move on. The sower went out to sow his seed. The sower is obviously Jesus Christ, and the seed is the Word of God. In the parable, we see four distinct soils. And the soils, what do these soils represent? They are the hearts of the people. For example, the good soil is, according to verse 15, an honest and good heart. That's the good soil. An honest and good heart. So you could see then these four distinct soils are people's hearts. The first, the beside the road seed fell. Second, the rocky soil. Third, among the thorns the seed fell. And the fourth, the good soil. First, the beside the road, it was trampled underfoot and the birds of the air ate it up. Second, the rocky soil, as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Mark says the same parable, it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil, and after the sun has risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Third, among the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And the fourth, the good soil, grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. In the parable, it is shown how the kingdom of God is accomplished. It is accomplished by the seed, by the word of God. The word, just like the seed, they seem nothing. It does not seem that the big trees will grow from those small seeds. The seeds seem very weak, no power to give life. And this sinful world sees the Word of God in the same way. They don't believe in the power of the Word of God, because they don't believe that even this whole universe was created by the Word of God. So yeah, they will mock at us. Mock a person like me who preaches and preaches, and they say, well, nobody's going to hear. It will not produce any fruits. And as they see the churches, they don't even obey what is being preached. They go, see, Word of God, it has no power whatsoever. And they even write a song about this. You know, here's a preacher just keep on preaching and nobody hears, nobody cares. So this is how the world sees the seed, the Word of God. But even so, the world cannot prevent the accomplishment of the kingdom of God by our Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God, it is established and is growing, is furthering, exactly according to God's plan. Actually, it is according to God's will. John chapter 10, verse 25 through 27, Jesus answered them, I told you, you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hears my voice and I know them and they follow me. The kingdom of God is surely being accomplished. The citizens of that kingdom are being gathered and that kingdom is furthering until the last person that God has elected will be saved. But the world will not see it that way. Look at the Word of God. It fell on these three distinct different soils and there's no fruit. So majority doesn't bear fruit. That's why the world will say those kind of things. It has no power. Look at, even people who go to church, they don't care about the Word of God. But there's good soil. And those people will bear good fruits. But look what is happening in the world though. Just because it is church, that the Word of God is being preached, doesn't mean that everybody who comes to church is a good soil. And I pray that our church, every one of you, is good soil. We try our best to make sure of it. That's why we do intense membership. But so many churches, they don't have membership. They don't care who comes to church. And what kind of soil are they? First, the beside the road. The heart that is like the beside the road. Verse 12, those beside the road are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. It says the word, the seed, is trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up, meaning the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. So there is no time for the seed to germinate. There is no interest in God's word. Here we see the purpose of Satan. He takes away so that they will not believe and be saved. So Satan's purpose is to make the sinners not believe and be saved. But it's not because God cannot prevent Satan from doing that. But it is God's will from the beginning. God even uses Satan in his works. So we have to understand that there is a spiritual battle when God's word is being preached. Even now as I preach God's word, there is spiritual battle in the souls who are hearing God's word. But I trust that the Holy Spirit is in you, working in you with the God's word that is being preached so that you will bear fruit. But there is spiritual battle. That's why I pray. I mean, even though I prepare the sermons, I read books and things like that, but I have to pray. Because I could preach all I want. If the Holy Spirit is not working, it's no use. This does not say that Satan is able to prevent the people from believing even when the Holy Spirit is working in them. The second, the rocky soil, the heart that is like the rocky soil. Verse 13, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. They receive the word with joy, it says. But they do not have firm root. They believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. They believe for a while. This is not saying that they genuinely believe. The Korean translation, I like it here. They act like they believe. They never truly believed. But in time of temptation, they fall away. They do not obey. And even when they don't obey, they don't even repent. To them, the word of God is just good sayings. Just like the good sayings of this world. They believe they are advantageous if they know these verses. But they do fall away when they are faced with temptations. Ultimately, they are fruitless. Third, among the thorns, the heart that is like among the thorns. This describes people with double-minded heart, double-minded people. The vine and the thorns are growing up together. As they grow up together, they fight each other in that soil. Ultimately, thorns are victorious. These believe that they are able to serve two masters, God and the wealth. They love the world even as they believe they are coming to God. Well, they actually come to God to gain the world. And they don't even believe that they are wrong. Even when they are wrong, they believe that they are not too bad. Which means that they do not truly repent. If you don't believe you're wrong, why would you repent? Verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and they, as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasure of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Yes, they hear the word of God, but as they go on their ways, that the word is choked. And I keep repeating these phrases. Choked by what? worries and riches and pleasure of this life does no fruit at the end. Mark chapter 4 verse 19 says this, "But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Brothers and sisters, this is warning from God. What chokes the word? The worries of this world, the riches of this world, pleasure of this world. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 through 10, 9 through 10. "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge man into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Yes, once you're saved, you're truly saved, God will not cause you to fall away, but you gotta make sure that you are saved. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And if it says by longing for it have wandered away from faith. Are you longing for money? Well then be very, very careful. You might just deceiving yourself. See, these people are what world calls religious people. Man, they could be very good Buddhists, but as soon as they go into Christianity, they could be really good Christian, and they could go to another religion, and they could be really good at that too. They're just religious. But they do not truly believe the truth that the Bible is teaching. Because their focus, no matter what religion they go, their focus is this world. Their focus is the riches of success of this world. It really doesn't matter, right? You know which religion doesn't matter. Because their purpose and their focus is always the same thing. It's the money. Now, I want you to notice something here. The beside the road, the first one. Second, the rocky soil. And the third, among the among the thorns. All three kinds of people. It says, they hear the word of God. All three soils, God says, they hear the word of God. Some even receive the word of God with joy, it says. Which means that they all attend the church and hear the word of God preached to them. The comparison is not Christian versus non-Christian. Yes, it is ultimately. But comparison is not churchgoers versus non-churchgoers. That's not what is being compared in our parable. They all hear the word of God. All four kinds, they all come to church. That's the first thing you must notice. They hear the word of God. And yet, only one bear fruit. The other three, they don't. So, they hear the word being preached to them, but the temptation comes, and the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and desire for the worldly things, the worries and riches and pleasure of this world, choke the word that they heard. Ultimately, all three kinds of soil are fruitless. Oh, they even looked as Christian in the beginning, but ultimately they are not. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out, so that it would be shown that they are not of us. Man, I can't even read today. They left it. You know, you know these kind of people, right? They've been coming to church for a long time, and yet one day they say they don't believe. Well, God's word says that they never really believed. They went out to prove that they were never with us. There's no falling from grace, losing your salvation. That's not what the Bible is teaching. They were never Christians. But even when that happens, this is not the failure of the Word of God. This does not show that there was a problem with the sower or the seed. Isaiah 55 verse 10 and 11, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire. And without succeeding in the matter for which I have sent it. The reality of one not believing that itself is the judgment that the word of God brings. There's always result whenever God's word is being preached. Either one receives it or one rejects it. Rejecting is also a response that word brings out in form of God's judgment. It never comes back to God empty, God says. People will say, oh, people don't believe, so word failed. God failed. We preach and preach, but people don't believe. No, it's not failure of the word. God never fails. It was clearly God's intention that those people will reject God's word. Because to them it's just a parable. Really do not clearly understand the meaning of God's gospel. The response of those people who do not believe, even after hearing the word of God, are many and different, like these three soils. But ultimately, they are all the same in that they are without any fruits that God is pleased with. Ultimately, these three soils are describing non-Christians. But they come to God's church. Now, I'm not here to discourage you. So, listen very carefully from this point on. There are many who do not believe the word of God even as they hear it, but the kingdom of God continues to further exactly according to God's plan. Jesus Christ sows his word. He sows himself and he furthers his kingdom. Luke chapter 8 verse 15, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. A good soil, it says an honest and good heart, who hears the word and holds it fast and bears fruit with perseverance. not just hearing the word, but obeying the word, and he perseveres. Luke chapter 8, verse 8b, produced a crop 100 times great. Brothers and sisters, this parable shows us our spiritual reality, our heavenly reality. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the good soil. But good soil is not of our own making. We are not able to do so. But God promised a good soil, good heart, good mind. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 through 28. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I give to your forefathers, so you will be my people and I will be your God. God promised that he will give you, his people, new heart, good soil. This is God's promise. And how does he do that? He says, I will put my Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit, he will come to us and circumcise our hearts and remove the hearts of stone and give us the heart of flesh so that we may obey. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Did you hear that? We have the heart of Christ. All of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are the ones who has the honest and good heart. When you examine yourself, don't judge yourself by your acts, your works. Then you will always be discouraged. But ask yourself, do I believe? Do I believe? Because that faith is not something you have created in you. You cannot believe without the Holy Spirit. So you begin there. Do I believe? Yes, I do. Well, then you are the good soil. It doesn't look like at the moment, but you believe. But when you believe that you are the good soil and you seem like not producing good fruits, then one thing that the good soil will do is repent of their sins. So ask yourself, do I repent when I sin? Yes. Then you are the good soil. Why would non-believer repent of their sins? We have the heart of Christ. We are the ones who hear and obey. We are the ones who persevere. To sow the seed is to expect the harvest. So when Jesus sowed the seed in you, he expects harvest. And you will bear good fruits. But good soil believes. Always believes. Now Jesus sowed the seed, and that seed fell on our honest and good hearts. And this honest and good heart is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And now we bear much fruit. This is our reality of our eternal salvation. We must believe. But there is one thing that we must not forget. Jesus is the sower, but He is also the seed. John chapter 12, verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So you see, Jesus is a grain of wheat that falls into the earth and dies. He bore our sins and died on the cross. Thus, Luke chapter 8, verse 15 becomes our eternal reality. And Jesus has triumphed over this world. He has triumphed over the kings of this world, the temptation of this world, and the worries of this world, and desires of this sinful world, and His victory is our victory. We must believe and endure. Believe and persevere. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, "So that you will not be sluggish, but imitator of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Did you hear that? Faith and patience. That's what is needed. And God has given that to us. We must love Jesus Christ more than anything in this world. And we must persevere as we hold fast our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me end with this. James chapter 1, verse 21. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." The phrase, the word implanted. The word implanted in our honest and good hearts. So even today, as you hear the word of God preached to you with faith, Jesus, the sower, has implanted in your heart His word, the seed. That's what He's doing every time you hear God's word preached and God's word taught. As you read His word, Jesus is planting in your heart His word. And because you are the good soil, guess what's going to happen? It will grow, and you will bear good fruit. Guaranteed. You must believe and endure and persevere. Ah, it's a beautiful picture. The gospel that is implanted in our honest and good hearts, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, it will grow, and you will bear much fruit, and God, He will enjoy your fruits. And that's all it matters. Just like the sower planting the seed and wait until the tree grows and bear fruit, and he goes out and he grabs that fruit and enjoys. He just loves eating that fruit. That's your life and my life in Jesus Christ. Oh, you might not see how much fruits that you're bearing, but because of Christ, you are bearing good fruits. Always check. Do I believe? And do I repent? Because believing is God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for making us the good soil. And we thank you that your Son has planted this good seed in us. And we thank you that you make it grow and grow. And Father, we bear much fruit, and you, our God, will enjoy all the fruits that we bear in Jesus Christ. We thank you that that is our life, and that is our reality. We love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.